The book of 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians. We're going to start this morning at verse 12. We've looked at most of this passage, but the last couple verses I want us to look at. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, or excuse me, chapter 5, verse 12. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit. Despise not prophesying. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God that your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. May the Lord add his blessing to this portion of his word. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God stands forever. Let's pray. Father, we ask you now that you would bless your word to our heart. We pray, Lord, that we would seek to apply it to our lives, that we would seek to understand it, that, Father, that we would take it as your letter to us, your calling to us. And, Father, we'll give you the thanks and praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Paul, as he comes to the end of this letter, has given rapid-fire commands in order for us to fulfill the will of God. Starting at chapter 4, if you'll look at chapter 4, turn just back one page to chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. He says, furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you have received of us how you ought to walk and please God, so you would abound more and more, for you know what commandment we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God. And so he comes and he starts here in this chapter, chapter 4, and he goes on and he says, be pure. Then he continues on and he says, be loving. Now, in amidst all of this, he gives us information on the coming of the Lord, what happens to the dead when they die, and these type of things. But his command is, be pure, be loving. And then when we get to verse chapter 5, we see that he says, starting in verse 12, to know them that labor among you, to respect them, to be patient with them. God is not finished with them yet. Be patient with all men. He tells us not to render evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to all men. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in everything. Don't quench the Spirit. Don't despise prophecy. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every appearance of evil. I don't know about you, but as I look at that list and as I consider what Paul has given, I sat down and I read openly. I set my stopwatch on my phone. And I read the book of 1 Thessalonians. It took me 11 minutes. That was reading out loud, not silently, but reading out loud. I would encourage you to do that, to take the book of 1 Thessalonians and read it out loud. But as you read it out loud and you hear what God has given Paul to give to us, we see this command after command after command. And in fact, some of the shortest things are some of the hardest things to do. Rejoice always. I don't know about you, but that's a hard thing to do. I don't know about you, but praying always is a hard thing to do. When it says that in everything give thanks, in every circumstance give thanks. Those are hard things to do. And just one of those things are hard to do. But put them all together. And I don't know about you, but I'm overwhelmed. Lord, how can I do all this? I can hardly put a foot in front of the other one. I can hardly do the jobs that you've given me to do. Each of us struggle with the world pulling at us. The flesh that is constantly warring against the spirit. I'm familiar, I hope you're familiar with Romans chapter 7, where Apostle Paul says, I don't do what I need to do, and I do what I don't need to do. He said, oh, wretched man that I am. And Paul felt this struggle. Not only is the world constantly pulling at us, not only is the flesh constantly pulling us, the devil is constantly tempting us to disobey God and His Word. Brothers and sisters, that's why we need to constantly be availing ourselves of the means of grace. His Word, prayer, the sacraments, the fellowship of the believers. But Paul ends on a comforting note. He ends on the comforting note, and look what that comforting note is. In verse 23, he prays for them. He says, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God that your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calls you, who will also do it. Notice what he prays for them. He prays the will of God for them. You remember back in chapter 4, verse 3, we read it just this morning. Chapter 4, verse 3 says, for this is the will of God, your sanctification. Here he says that he prays for their sanctification, that their whole person would be sanctified. Notice he says, may the God of peace sanctify you wholly. That is God's will. Can I tell you this morning that God will answer the prayer that is His will? There is no doubt that that is His will. There's many things in this world we can pray for that we don't know if it's God's will or not. But this we know is God's will. God's will is that He would sanctify us. We can rejoice that God will answer that prayer. You look at all these commands which are part of our sanctification, and you say, how can I ever do it? And Paul immediately goes on and he says, I'm going to pray for you that God would sanctify you. Half the battle of our sanctification is understanding and realizing that it is the will of God, and then praying for it. I don't want this morning to take away the part that God has for us to play in the process of sanctification. We have in Philippians 2:12, it says to work out your own salvation. In 1 Timothy 4, verse 7, it says train yourself to be godly. In 1 Peter 2:2, it says, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. And so there certainly is an aspect of our participation and our laboring and our working for our sanctification, for us to become more like Jesus Christ. But verse 24 of this passage recognizes that it is God's work. It says, faithful is he that calls you, who will also do it. he will do it also. It's interesting. I went back both in this the Greek in verse 23 and 24, and I found some very unusual and very profitable things for us to consider even this morning. He says, he will do it also, or he will also do it. The word that is translated also there is a word that is used over 9,000 times in the New Testament. 9,000 times. That's amazing to me. Usually we're saying, now this word is used only once, or this word is used two or three times, and this is the way it's used. I don't think we'll take the time to look at all 9,000 this morning where the word for also is used. And you're thankful for that, I understand. But the word there also is the word kai in the Greek. It's the word and. And so the word and, when we think of the word, it's a connective word. And that's the way it's used primarily. But it's also a cumulative word or an intensive word. And so we see that faithful is he that calls you who will also do it, or he will surely do it. It is an intensive of what it is saying. He will surely do it. Not only will he do it, but you can be sure that he will do it. And you notice in verse 24, it tells us why he will surely do it. He will surely do it because he is faithful. Someone else has said, and it's true, we don't always like it, but God is more concerned about your holiness than your happiness. God is more concerned about your sanctification than your satisfaction. God is more interested that you be like Jesus Christ than anything else in the world. But we can be assured that he will do it because of his faithfulness. This is what he has called you to. In chapter 4 of 1 Thessalonians, we see that it says that he has called us to purity. Verse 7, for God hath not called us to uncleanness, but unto holiness. And the word holiness is the same word for sanctification. And so he has called us to sanctification. He is faithful because that's what he has called us to. Obedience to his will, becoming more like Jesus, that is what he delights. He wants us to delight in God's will. And we have Jesus who delighted in doing God's will, who did God's will without a flaw, and who did God's will that you might be able to be justified and sanctified and glorified. Look again, if you will, at verse 23. It says, and the very God of peace. Now, first of all, I was going to jump ahead, but I want to deal with the very God. What is the very God? It is the God himself. God himself. The God himself of peace sanctify you wholly. And it's interesting that the word there, holy, is repeated twice. The exact same word is repeated twice. And so the way we could translate it, and the very God of peace sanctify you completely and completely, or thoroughly and thoroughly. And we see this completion and this wholeness several times in these two verses. The very God of peace sanctify you wholly, thoroughly. And I pray your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless, be preserved completely unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. God wants to sanctify us not only in our spirit and in our soul, but he wants us to sanctify us in our body, all of us. And notice when this work will be completely and fully done. It will be done until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The word there for unto is the word for in or at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The glorious truth that God has for us here is that God is in the process and is going to completely sanctify us, to completely make us like Jesus Christ. And it is based upon His faithfulness. Because He is faithful, we can depend on what He says He will do. God will preserve us at the end. He has promised not only here, but in some other places of this very thing. Turn with me to the next page in your Bible, to 2 Thessalonians. It might be the second page over, to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 3. It says, "But the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and keep you from evil. And we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that ye both do and will do the things which we command you. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ." You know, as we look at this, well, I'll leave that for just a moment. But we see that the faithfulness of God, once again, is the foundation of our preservation. Can I tell you this morning, folks, that Satan is real? In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, it says, "Be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary the devil walketh around seeking whom he may devour." But can I tell you, though, that Satan is wrong, that Satan is real, and that Satan is strong, he's not as strong as the one that is in you. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, it says, "Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world." He is the God of the world. He's ruling and controlling things in the world as they are unfolding today. But he is not stronger than God. And the one that is stronger than Satan dwells within you by his Spirit. Paul's confidence is not in the people of the church of the Thessalonians. His confidence is in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what gave him confidence. And brothers and sisters, that's what should give you and me confidence. Don't look at the preacher and get your confidence. Don't look at the elders and get your confidence. Don't look at the people around you in the congregation and get your confidence. Get your confidence from the Lord Jesus Christ, because He is faithful. And because though others may fail you, He will not and He cannot. Turn with me, if you will, to John chapter 6. I love this passage. John chapter 6, verse 36. It says this, and this is the Lord Jesus speaking. He said, "But I said to you that ye have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will that has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but shall raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." Part of the Father's will is that Jesus would raise up at the last day those that are His. That Jesus would sanctify completely, body, soul, and spirit, those that are His. That He would sanctify them at His coming. Again, our confidence is not on how good we are. Our confidence is not how well we keep these things. Because let me tell you something. If you examine your life and examine it properly and examine it thoroughly, you're going to see how very far, far, far short you fall. But can I tell you that our confidence is not based upon who and what we do. Our confidence is based upon the Lord Jesus Christ, who did it all for us perfectly. And because we have His righteousness, God sees us as perfect. And we see here that all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Folks, those that are the Father's cannot be plucked out of the Father's hand, nor out of the Son's hand. Turn with me, if you will, over a few pages to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. You see, this is a reoccurring theme throughout the Word of God. The faithfulness of God and our confidence in the faithfulness of God. And I want you to, as we read this, then we're going to think about this church of Corinth. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 7. So that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Is that familiar with you? Did you just hear it there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5? That you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful. Does that sound familiar? God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, if you're familiar with the church at Corinth, you're going to remember that it was one messed up church. They were carnal. They were selfish. They came to the Lord's table and they were seeing who could get there first. They were coming to fellowship suppers, and the people that didn't have much food, they would push them aside. They would eat and there wouldn't be anything left for the others to come in. That was what they were like. They were divisive. I'm of Paul. I'm of Apollos. I'm of Cephas. They were divisive. They were proud. Look at what Paul says to them even before he corrects them. Chapter 1. It's the beginning. Paul knows what he's going to say to the church at Corinth, and he knows that he's going to climb all over them for what they're doing. Remember 1 Corinthians 13. Love trumps everything. They were speaking in tongues. They were healing. They were doing all these things. He says, but it's nothing. And he knows all these things. Now, having remembered who the church at Corinth was and what the church at Corinth was, let me read these verses to you again. He says, you come behind in no gift. You're talented. Your abilities. You have gifts that God has given to you. And you're waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But the Lord Jesus Christ is going to confirm you until the end. And what's He going to do? He's going to make you blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of His Son. Now, Paul commends them. Paul says God's faithful. Paul says God is going to change you. Paul says God's going to work in and through your life before He corrects them. You would think that this would perhaps comfort them in their sinfulness. And yet, Paul does not see it this way. Satan would like for you to look at how messed up you are and how you have messed up. But Paul does it the other way around. Paul points to the faithfulness of God. God is faithful. He points to their calling. He said, you were called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ. He points to their security. He'll confirm you until the end. He points to the coming of Christ. Turn with me back over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. You will see the exact same points that he makes there. Verse 24. Faithful is he. God is faithful. He points to their calling. Faithful is he that calleth you. He points their security. You'll be preserved blameless until the coming of the Lord. He points to the coming of Christ. I had the question asked me this last week. Said, I understand the work of Jesus Christ. Understand what Jesus Christ has done. But the weakest link is me. The weakest link is my faith. The weakest link is my trust. And so what is that answer when we're feeling oppressed, when we're feeling down, when we're feeling not worthy, when we're feeling like is it true? Is it right? The Apostle Paul says, look, he's given us the list, what we're to do. But he says, I pray for you that the God of peace will sanctify you wholly, and that your whole spirit and soul and body would be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that called you, who also will do it. As we conclude this morning, I want to ask you a question. When was that last time you prayed for somebody that prayer? When it was the last time that you said, oh God, the God of peace? You know, people today are looking for peace. But the only way to know peace is to know the God of peace. The only way to know peace is to have peace with God. You cannot have peace if you don't have peace with God. But once we have peace with God, once we are justified, once we are in the hand of God, then brothers and sisters, we don't turn our eyes away from the one who purchased our salvation. We keep our eyes upon him. Because as soon as we turn our eyes upon ourselves, you know what's going to happen? Doubt, fear, timidity, trembling will be our portion. And so if we are going to be motivated to live godly in Christ Jesus, our hope is not our faithfulness, our hope is not our ability, our hope is not our strength, but the one that is ever faithful. And folks, let me tell you this morning, please do not get me from this message that we're not to train, we're not to exercise ourselves to godliness. But in that exercising, in that training, in that desire to be like the Lord Jesus Christ, let us never take our eyes up off the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the one who is ever faithful, who is the one who will surely do it, the one who will present us blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Can I tell you this morning, Jesus is coming again. Can I tell you this morning that he will not lose one of his children? I reminded years ago that we were at SeaWorld. And my wife was sitting a couple of seats with a couple of children in between us, and I was sitting here. We sat through one of the shows. And when we got up, we looked at each other and said, is Rachel with you? No. Is Rachel with you? No. I thought you had her. No, I thought you had her. Rachel was lost. The terror. But can I tell you this morning, none of the children of God will ever be lost. You're right in the hand of God. He is faithful. Let us pray. Father, this morning as we come to you, at times we can be overwhelmed. At times we say, Lord, I just can't do it. And so, Lord, this morning, I pray that you would help us to look at the one who is faithful, at the one who will present us faultless, not on our account, not what we have done, but according to his mercy, his grace, his strength. Oh, Father, keep our eyes on Jesus. For it's in Christ's name we pray it. Amen.